chapter 2. As we continue to look at the importance of witnessing and taking the gospel to the lost, this morning we come to Jonah chapter number 2. There is a question, we won't look at it this morning, but I think later on we will come back and look at this later on, but there is a question as to what happened to Jonah. Some people think he was just in the whale, and there's a lot of symbolism here, and others believe that he actually died and went to hell, and then God brought him back. And we're not going to delve into that today because I want to stay focused on the witnessing, but later on I do intend on coming back and looking at that point specifically. So if you have those questions, just hang on to them. We'll get to those later on. But this morning, Jonah chapter 2. And we're going to read all 10 verses. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." How significant that he said they were God's billows and God's waves. Jonah is now realizing, he's now admitting, hey, that God is doing all of this. "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." So here in Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, now, a lot of people have been involved. These mariners have been involved in everything, but now, it's really time for business. Now it's Jonah and God. Just Jonah and God. His disobedience has brought him to this place. And as we've said before, at any point, Jonah could have repented. He could have repented, got back on land, and headed to Nineveh at any point. But he wouldn't. And he wouldn't even throw himself in the waters to save the mariners. He told them, yeah, it's my fault. You throw me in. Put it in their hands. Left it up to them. And so then when he just cannot get any lower. Okay? Whether he stayed in that fish's belly, especially if he did die and go to hell, there's absolutely no way for him to get any lower. He's reached the end of his rope, the place at which a lot of people get saved, the place at which a lot of Christians finally get their disobedience taken care of and start being obedient to God, at the end of his rope. But at any point, he could have repented, but he didn't. However, before we rail on Jonah for waiting so long, let's remember to be thankful for the fact that he did repent. Let's be thankful that it didn't end with him being swallowed up. Let's be thankful for verse 10, that he ended up back on the dry land because he repented and got things right with God. We're going to go on and see that Jonah's got another attitude change coming, and Jonah's going to mess up again. But as of right now, he has repented and said, I'll do it. He's come to the very end here. And oftentimes when man comes to the end of himself, he finds the beginning of God. And man tries to do everything that he can do and tries to do things with his own hands, our fallen nature, that's what we want to do. But then when man finally comes to the end oftentimes and finally realizes, hey, there's not a thing that I can do, then oftentimes he turns to God. Some still resist and spend eternity in hell. Some maybe don't go that far, but many people go to the end of their rope before they turn to God in salvation, or just Christians in obedience. Sometimes Christians fight and fight and fight and rebel and rebel and rebel and just resist and make excuses and try to justify and everything until God chastens them to the point where they're absolutely miserable. And then they finally say, "You're right. You're right. I should have given in a long time ago." Now, before we go any further, let's deal with this with one thing real quick. It says, "Then Jonah prayed out of the Lord unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." And we have heard the story. People talk. We've heard our whole lives. People talk about Jonah and the whale. People say, Jonah and the whale. And then other Christians step in and they say, no, it wasn't a whale. The Bible says it was a fish. And then they step in and they say, whales are mammals. And a fish swallowed him up, so it's not a whale. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. If you just look real quick, Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Let's get this out of the way real quick. What swallowed him up? A whale or a fish? Yes, both. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. I take Jesus' word. And Jesus said, "For as Jonas," that's talking about Jonah, "was 3 days and three nights in the," what's it say? "Whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Hey, Jesus said that that great big fish was a whale. It was a whale. Someone said to me one time, "Well, whale was the closest word they could find in the English." Okay, in Jonah it says great fish. You find the words great and fish other places in the New Testament. If God wanted to put great fish there, he would have put great fish there. And it's nothing to fight about. It's nothing to argue about. But the truth is, the book of Jonah says it was a fish. Jesus said it was a whale. What does that mean? That means a whale's a fish. And people say, "Oh, no. It's a mammal. They've proven it's a mammal." Who's proven it's a mammal? Man? Science? If science contradicts God's word, science is wrong. So science can say, "Oh, it's a mammal. A whale is a mammal because of live birth and all this and everything." Bible said he was swallowed by a fish, and that fish was called a whale. That's it. Whale's a fish, and a whale swallowed Jonah. Well, they say a whale can't swallow a man. For one, it has happened multiple times through history, not just with Jonah. Two, if it never had, look at verse 17 in chapter 1. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." Even if it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a man, not when God tells that whale to swallow a man. Okay? Now, why do we look at that? For one, to point out, God's right, not science. If science agrees with the Bible, then it's right. But if it disagrees with the Bible, it's wrong. Let's go with God and not the science textbooks, okay? And two, to realize this is not something, I mean, here's the answer right here. But don't let anybody ever get you hung up on something like this. These are the kind of things people want to talk about to get you off track when you're trying to witness to them. Here's the answer, but don't get hung up on it. Because if you're witnessing to a lost person and he wants to know if it was a fish or a whale, it doesn't matter if it was a fish or a whale to that man. His soul is on its way to hell. And what he needs to know is that Jonah was a picture of Christ, and who's Christ, and then tell him who Christ is. That's what matters. So don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidelined. But I thought I would point that out because sometimes people argue over that. And Jesus said, whale. But we move on. Pardon me. We look at verses 1 and 2. And we notice in verse 2, he says, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. What caused him to cry? How bad things had gotten. And that's sometimes that's embarrassing to us. Why did I wait until things got so bad? Why didn't I take care of things earlier? Why did I let it go so far? Why did I get in this mess? Dire circumstances often bring us to a place of repentance with the lost person or the saved person who's been disobedient. But here's the exciting thing about this verse. You may have waited too long. You may have, well, not too long, but you may have waited longer than what you should have. You may have let things get worse than what they had to be. You may have gone further down in the boat. You may have gotten further down on your rope. And you may have had multiple opportunities. Let's look at just witnessing what we're talking about this morning. You may have had multiple opportunities and multiple times in your life where you said, God is convicting me. I'm not witnessing like I should be. I'm not telling people how to be saved. I'm not being obedient to His Word. I'm not doing what God has called me to do. He saved me. Why am I not telling other people how to be saved? Why am I so selfish? But then you go right on being selfish and not. And there may have been times in your life where you said, I need to deal with this, but then you don't for whatever reason. Rebellion, distraction, whatever it is. But we have things that we look at in our life and say, we look back and we say, boy, I could have done something different. Then. I had all these opportunities. Why didn't I do anything? Here's the thing, church. Whatever the reason was, you didn't, and you can't go back and do anything about that now. All you can do is change it today. And be obedient today. And sometimes we say, and I've said it, from this day forward. No, forget about forward because there might not be a forward. Today, right now, let's be obedient. And if He gives us tomorrow, we'll be obedient tomorrow. And if we get another week, month, years, whatever, we'll be obedient. But sometimes we just, in our disobedience, get into a place and we look back and we say, man, what, how did I get here? I should have listened. And that's right. We should have, but let's realize wallowing in it isn't going to do anything. We can't go back and do it over again. We don't know if we're going to get tomorrow. All we know is right now I can be obedient. Right now I can do something different. Right now I can change. Oh, but I've spent so many years not taking the gospel out. All the more reason to go take it out today. But I've just, you know, I just never have been. Well, then it's time to be now. And don't wait until next week or the week after that. You might not have that. You might not be here. You specifically as an individual might be gone. You don't know how much time you have left. We all as a church might be gone. We might be raptured out of here by that time. But we know we have right now. So we need to be obedient right now. And oftentimes our disobedience brings us into dire circumstances, and that brings us to a place of repentance. But here's the exciting thing about this verse. It's just terrible that Jonah went this far. It's terrible that he didn't repent before now. It's terrible that he did this and he did that, and he's been so disobedient. But when he finally repented and got it right with God and cried out to God, what does the verse say? It says, my affliction, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I've been so disobedient for so long. Is God going to listen? Absolutely, He's going to listen. He had to have Jonah swallowed up by a great big whale. Can you imagine how disgusting that was? What's it like on the inside of a whale? I know you've all seen Pinocchio, but I doubt it's like that. Really, the inside of a Jaws? Did you say Jaws? What must that have been like? Oh, man. How disgusting. And getting thrown in was bad enough. Brother Denny and I were talking this morning about almost drowning. I almost drowned one time. He almost drowned one time. Talking about how bad that was. Man, and on top, so Jonah's thrown in this water, and then this big fish comes up and swallows him. Man, how could it get any worse? He's in the belly of this fish, and he cries. And God says, yes. Boy, isn't that exciting. I look at my disobedience, and I look at what I've done wrong, and I look at how I haven't been who God wants me to be, and I haven't done what He wants me to do, but I know that if I'll just repent and get it right with Him, He'll listen and He'll answer. You know why? He isn't like me. Man gets fed up with other people. We write people off sometimes. We're done with people sometimes. God isn't. He never gets done with me. His mercy endureth forever, the Bible says. By the way, the Bible tells us that multiple times in Psalms. He's there. He's listening. We're the ones that need to cry out. No matter how bad the situation is, God hears the cry of true repentance. We're not talking about just saying what other people think we ought to say. We're not talking about making a show. We're talking about true, brokenhearted repentance before God. When His Word has convicted us and we have realized, I have done wrong, I have been disobedient, and we've come to Him in repentance, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, help me to do right now. God hears the call of true repentance, and if you've neglected the call of Christ to be a witness to the lost, if you've neglected that, it's not too late to repent and obey. You say, oh, but all these years of not knowing how to talk to people and not... Okay, then start with a handful of gospel tracts. You don't have to say a word. Start somewhere. Grab an invite that has a track on the back and invite somebody to church. Hey, do you have a church? Love to have you come visit us. Just start somewhere. Get the gospel into somebody's hands. You look at verse number 3 and it says, for Thou hast cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the seas and the floods compass me about, and Thy billows and Thy waves passed over me. Terrible things happening here, but God's hand of chastening is always for our benefit and for His glory. God is going to get the glory one way or another when it's all said and done. He's going to be glorified. But His chastening is for our benefit so that He'll get the glory and we will be benefited and we will learn to follow Him and we will learn to obey Him and be who He wants us to be. We are His representations. The song that Brother Dwayne sang this morning just goes perfectly with this. Are people seeing Christ in you? Can somebody say that? Have you been obedient to the point where they see Christ in you? The Bible tells us here in verse 4, then said I, am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Sometimes the hand of God may feel heavy. Sometimes the hand of God and the hand of chastening is so heavy that we think God is so far away. I am so far away from Him. There's no way that, how can I talk to Him? But look at what Jonah said. He was wrong. He was absolutely wrong. I am cast out of thy sight. Where can you go to escape the presence of the Lord? Nowhere. You might feel like you're cast out of His sight, but His eyes are everywhere. He knows what's going on. He sees what's going on. Sometimes His hand is heavy, even to the point that we feel that He cannot see us. I've messed up so bad, I've disobeyed so much, I don't even think God sees me anymore. But what did He tell us in Hebrews 13:5? He said that He would never what? Leave thee nor forsake thee. In verses 5 and 6, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. We see Jonah's terrible situation here. We see the situation that he is in now because of his disobedience. And you might look at this and say, you know, Pastor, I've not obeyed the call of God, but I'm not where Jonah was, and you don't have to be. I pray that we wouldn't wait until we got that far. I pray that we wouldn't wait that long. Now, we've already looked at how, if we do, God still hears us, but why wait? Why let things get that bad if they don't have to? Some things you don't have any control over, but if you have control over something, why let it get any worse than it has to? Nobody enjoys going to the doctor, men less than women, I think. It just seems like we are, you know, we can deal with it, we can handle it. Truth be told, some of us are scared. I can't stand going to the doctor. But you got to go, you got to go. And how many times you ever gone in and they said, boy, you should, if you came in earlier, wouldn't have got this bad. You shouldn't have waited so long to come in. Now we got to put you on this and this. You know, you shouldn't have waited. You shouldn't have neglected. How many times have you said, well, I felt it. I felt it coming on last week. I knew I should have started taking such and such. I knew I should have done this. I knew I should have dealt with it like this, but I just didn't. I asked for it. That's our own fault. That isn't ignorance. Remember we talked about the difference between ignorance and stupidity? Ignorance is not your fault. Stupidity is. That's stupidity when you know when you just don't do it. Why get to the point where you're in the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of a whale, and weeds are wrapped around your head? Why not make things easier for everybody involved? And when God first begins to chasten and convict, why not deal with it then? But if you have let it go that long, deal with it now. If you're sitting here today and you say, God gave us the Great Commission to take the gospel out. I've not been witnessing to people. I've not been telling people how to get saved. All right, deal with it today. Repent, get that right with God. Deal with it today. In verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. I realize we're talking mostly about witnessing, but you know, these truths we're learning this morning apply in so many different areas of our lives. The main thing we're talking about this morning is the cost of disobedience and how to get it right and how to be obedient. Look, he says, I remembered the Lord. You know what I think is significant about that? Notice who did the forgetting. He didn't say, the Lord remembered me. Jonah was the one that forgot about God. And you're the one, and I'm the one that forgets about God. We do the forgetting. He doesn't forget us. We forget Him. We forget His words. He's faithful. We sometimes are not. He keeps His word. Sometimes we don't. We forget. He said, I remembered the Lord. We do the forgetting. But when we come to God in repentance, He hears us. And here's what Jonah's doing. He's repenting. He's getting things right. Now, like I said, later on he's going to make another bad decision. And he's going to end up with a bad attitude. But right now he's repenting. Right now he's repenting. He's getting on that path of obedience. And God will hear the call of true repentance. But church, it has to be the call of true repentance. It can't be superficial. It can't be, well, yeah, that sounds good. Or, well, okay, yeah, I think that's what I need to say. It has to be true repentance. Has God dealt with your heart? Has He broken your heart? Look at Psalm 51 and verse 17. Go back to Psalm 51 and 17. This is David's psalm after the ordeal with Bathsheba. and all the terrible things that transpired there. He didn't go out to battle like he was supposed to. He looked with lust. He took this woman and committed adultery. She conceived. He tried to have her husband Uriah come home and spend the evening with her so he would think it was his kid, and Uriah was too much of a man to do that. He wouldn't go in and spend the evening with his wife when his brothers-in-arms were out in the field sleeping in tents. What's that say about the king? He didn't even go out to war with them, and he was supposed to be out there. Then he has Uriah killed. And then God takes the life of the baby. Boy, dozens of times David could have repented and kept things from getting worse, and he didn't. But finally he did. And God heard. And look at what he tells us in Psalm 51 and verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know why some people, lost people, hear the gospel, it makes sense to them, they know they need to be saved, and they don't get saved? They haven't repented. We're not talking about, be careful with the word repentance. Repentance, when we talk about repentance, we're not talking about you have to stop sinning before you get saved. That's not what we're talking about. If you could, why would you need to be saved? Okay, well, you'd still need to be saved because you were born a sinner. Even if you weren't one in practice, you'd still have to be saved. But why is it that some people don't get saved? They won't repent. They're not broken. Why is it that some Christians continue in disobedience? They won't allow themselves to be broken. It's not genuine. But if we will be honest before God and let God break our hearts, for whatever it is, the lost, our disobedience in some other area, something else that we're learning from the Word, whatever it is, if we would be honest before God and allow Him to break our hearts, and I mean just pound us down, grind us down to powder, we could come before Him in true repentance. Amen. And He'll attend to us. I've said before, sometimes we look at things that we're neglecting and we say, you know, I just don't have the desire. Yeah, but do you want the desire? You say, Pastor, that desire, just what's wrong with me? That desire is not there. Does it bother you that desire is not there? Yeah, it bothers me. I know I should have that desire. That's a good place to start. Lord, cultivate the desire. Help me get my eyes in the right spot, get in the Word, and start to see You and the lost the way that I should. And then that will cultivate the desire, and that will begin to break my heart. In verse 8 it says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. God's mercy has not run dry. We won't turn there, but in Psalm 118 verse 1 is where it talks about His mercy enduring forever. What Jonah is saying here is that when man disobeys God, specifically when he looks to and he follows error, okay, it might be the philosophy of the world or his own flesh or his own thoughts or feelings. You know, people say, well, I think. And we need to say, well, what's the Bible say? But when we listen to things we're not supposed to listen to, we turn our back on God and His mercy. His mercy is still there. But when we will turn toward the philosophies and the teachings of the world and we turn to what we think and what we think is right and what we think we ought to do, he says, they that observe lying vanities, when we listen to anyone other than God, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah didn't listen to God. He did what he wanted to do. Fled, got in the ship, still wouldn't repent, thrown over into the water, swallowed up by a whale. He was not listening to God. He was listening to himself. Though though the Hallmark movies make lots of money off of their favorite little quote, follow your heart. Amy likes to watch the Hallmark movies, and they're clean and they're decent. But I just wish they wouldn't talk about God in them. Because they give some of the worst theology. But all the time, everywhere you look, follow your heart. You mean that thing that the Bible said is desperately wicked? You can only follow your heart if your heart is following God. If your heart is right with God, that's the only time you can follow it. If it's not in line with God's word, you better not listen to it, because it'll take you the way of the flesh. Well, here's what I think, and here's what I think I ought to do. We listen to those lying vanities, and what do? Forsake their own mercy. We could have God's mercy if we'd listen to Him, quit listening to ourselves and doing what we want to do. But God's mercy remains. You know, even when we turn our back, when we go the way of the flesh, the way of the world, the way of the devil, we listen to something else other than listening to God, and we observe these lying vanities. And we, just like in Galatians, it talks about falling from grace. That doesn't mean they're not saved. It means that they have turned their back. They were living in grace, and now they put themselves back under the law. They're still saved, but they're not living in the grace and mercy that they could live in and have the benefits and the joy of that. When we willingly reject God's grace and mercy, His grace and mercy is still there. We've just turned our backs, and just because we turned our backs doesn't mean that He turns His and walks away. Little kids, you know, like Clayson's age. Clayson likes to play hide and seek. His favorite thing to do is to run and get in our bed and get under the covers and lay straight and cover his whole body up. If you've ever had kids, all of your kids have done this. And you walk in, as soon as you step in the room, you know he's right there, because the bed goes like this. And the bed is kind of shaking and giggling a little bit. And there's little feet moving. You know where he's at. And what do? You walk around. Where is he at? Where did he go? I can't find him, you know. And then you lay down on the bed. And, oh, the bed's lumpy and everything. What do they think? They honestly think you don't know they're there. Or they close their eyes. They hide in a corner. He likes to get in the corner in the living room. They get in the corner and then they close their eyes or something. You're looking right at them and they're doing this. Honestly, what do they think? I can't see you. You can't see me. What a shame that sometimes we as Christians have that attitude about God and His mercy. Just because you've turned your back and listened to your flesh and gone the way of the flesh and the way of the world, His mercy hasn't gone anywhere. His grace hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't gone anywhere. You forgot Him. He didn't forget you. You forgot about His mercy. It didn't go away. You gave up His grace. It didn't go away. We would just repent. If we would just repent, His mercy and His grace is still there. And then in verse 9, again, we see Jonah's repentance is clear. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of... Brother Denny's going to go check it out. And Brother Randy. It's about where our air conditioner is. It is. Air conditioner's right out there. Okay, let's keep going. Once again, we see his repentance, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Here he is. He's come to that place where he has repented. And then in verse 10, what happens? When we get to that point where we finally repent and we're going to be obedient to God, what happens? And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Plain and simple, you come to a place of true repentance and God hears and God answers and God restores. He hears, He answers, He restores. We come to that place of repentance, He hears, He answers, and He restores. So in closing, I'll say this. We're looking at witnessing and taking the gospel to the lost. Have you been disobedient there? Have you just kind of let it kind of fall by the wayside. Maybe it's not a flat-out rebellion as Jonah and say, no, I'm not going to do it. Maybe it's just a neglect. Maybe we just have gotten so wrapped up in other things. Maybe we have gotten so wrapped up in our own sanctification, which is important, but maybe we have just got to the point where we're just concerned with what God's doing to us, and we have forgotten one of the things He wants us to do is take the gospel to the others. Maybe we have a sincere desire. We're in the Word and we're trying to learn and grow and we want God to make us who He wants us to be. But maybe we've forgotten, well, it's not just about God working on me. It's about Him working on me so that I can take the gospel to others. You see, it's not supposed to stop here. A doctor goes to college and learns how to do everything but then never opens up an office anywhere. Well, what good is that? Didn't help anybody else. Maybe it's not an open rebellion and disobedience like Jonah. Maybe it's just neglect. Maybe we just got wrapped up in other things. Maybe we care about the lost and want people to get saved, but we're just not doing it. Maybe we are, but we could be doing more. You know, this number of people in here, we're probably in a bunch of different boats, different places. I don't know where everybody's at. These are just some of the possibilities. But if we have disobeyed His call to reach the lost, this passage has made it clear. Repent today, obey His word, and do His work. Repent today, obey His word, and do His work. Don't wait till tomorrow. Let's get it done today. Can't go back to yesterday. Might not get tomorrow. Might not get the rest of today. Do it right now. And you know what the great thing is? Mercy awaits. God's mercy awaits. Let's pray and then we'll have a closing hymn and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning and Your word. And I just pray You would deal with each one of us and show us what our situation is. And if we don't have the right attitude about witnessing, that You would break our hearts, Lord, and give us that desire and help us to have the desire and the compassion to go out and take the gospel to the lost. And maybe if some of us have openly rebelled as Jonah did, Lord, deal with us. And maybe some of us have just neglected. Maybe we didn't mean to, but we just neglected. Lord, I just pray that You would work on us. Show us what our need is. Help us to repent and get it right with You. And we ask that You would just work on us. Make us who You want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.